Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Daredevil Bored Again. I'm Bored Again. I'm Alex.
I'm Dead Again. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
Pete Again. He's Pete.
I'm Pete again.
And we're going to be talking about episode 8 of season 1 of Daredevil Bored Again, Isle of Joy. So if you are on your Isle of Joy without spoilers, get off it, because we're about to talk about spoilers right now. Recap of the episode, lots of stuff going on here as Bullseye returns. He summons Daredevil to prison to reveal some information around the death of Foggy Nelson. We're looping back to that. And by the end of the episode, it's revealed who actually was behind it was Vanessa Fisk, which I don't think any of us guessed, actually. But fun, surprising twist there. But in the meantime, Bullseye breaks out of prison, comes to the black and white ball, which is, I believe, based on the cookie, since it's a New York ball.
And,
Whoopie pie, as they're known in Maine.
Ooh. Oh, that's crazy. They're black and white cookies. Anyway,
Half Moon Cookie.
Half Moon is the accepted name. The black and white cookies, but what I love are round discs of meat. What, you call them hamburgers? That's crazy.
Half Moon Cookie is a very nice name, but it is a black and white cookie if you live in New York. That's all. But I know both of you are not New Yorkers, and only I am. So,
Long Island is really stretchy. Is that where they start counting the city these days?
Yeah, sure. Nassau County. Why not? Anyway, at the black and white ball, a lot of stuff goes down, including a dude getting his head deep fried. BP Urich reveals that she is, in fact, going for justice for Ben Urich, and that's what's been behind everything all along. And, yeah, lots of other things going on in this.
The dungeon reveal.
Dungeon reveal. Adam gets killed by Vanessa. They give up therapy. They're cured. So that's pretty nice as well. There's also a lot of friction in the relationship between Heather and Matt going on here. Very much big penultimate episode vibes, setting up a lot of stuff for the season finale. So let's get into it. I kind of don't even know where to start, but maybe we should start with the Foggy stuff, since I assume, Pete, that's what you're most psyched about, is talking about your boy and hopefully getting a little justice for him.
Yeah, well, I also am, as I watched this episode, my initial thought when the credits rolled was that the last episode of the season? Because I was really worried.
Or the series.
Yeah. I mean, Daredevil dies at the end. He gets shot, saving Wilson Fisk, which we all knew was going to happen eventually. Yeah. And R.I.P. Matt.
Depends on which side you're on here. Like, are you pro Daredevil or pro Thick Wilson? And for you, everyone who's been just waiting for the Kingpin to keep on reigning, this is a great series finale.
Well, I did think it was interesting that we kind of like started with Foggy here and kind of like had that nice moment in the bar where they were kind of giving a toast. And, you know, Matt got kind of worked up about who ordered Foggy's death. And then he finally put it all together. Because sometimes when you're out drinking, you got to go back to the bar. You know what I mean? To piece stuff back together.
You're saying a lot of stuff. You're talking about the scene where he goes back to Josie's and talks to Josie, yeah. Right?
Right.
Great. Okay, just making sure.
And what did you think about the fact that his big clue was like, Foggy wouldn't drink the good stuff unless he did something. He's a cheap fuck.
I like the fact that you know your friend well enough to know his drink and then know, like, okay, he only would drink that if it was celebrating. So I thought it was a fun moment. I will say,
I do think they did a really nice job of setting this up throughout the season, because in the very first episode, they did have that scene where it was Foggy drinking with Kirsten McDuffie, and he's like, no, get the stuff from behind the bar. Yeah. Midway through the season, we had the thing where Matt cracked the drink with Heather and was like, yeah, we always used to drink this after one of our cases, and here we get him putting it all together. So that was nicely woven in there. I also think all the stuff... I mean, I certainly didn't pick up on it, but all the stuff with Dumb Betty was laid in the first episode as well, in terms of they very casually mentioned, like, oh, yeah, you robbed this warehouse. Oh, it was in Red Hook. Oh, really annoying. Dumb Betty's so dumb. And I think they did a nice swerve here in terms of us expecting, yes, of course, Bullseye is going to come after Daredevil's friends to get back at Daredevil. But that's not what was going on at all. They set up very clearly that he went after Dumb Betty, killed him first, and Dumb Betty calls Foggy, and he's like, I'm sorry, he made me tell him where you were. So right in the first episode, they told us, Bullseye is coming after Betty and Foggy, not Daredevil, not Karen, none of the other characters. And that's what we start to get the payoff for here. There's obviously details that need to be filled in. But again, like, I think that's a good mystery, even though we kind of didn't know it was a mystery, because they laid it all out there and swerved enough and distracted us enough so we didn't really think about those tiny details.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that goes to show what really struck me in this episode was the writing on this show is just very good, especially in comparison to a lot of the other Marvel shows and movies we've gotten of late. Like, everything, there's so much meaning, layers of meaning. They're not overly explaining things. We're getting to watch Matt almost piece it together, but he's sort of too late every time. And it's great because you feel frustrated, and Matt is so frustrated in this entire episode.
He is so, like, he is freaking out, and it was very stressful towards the end. But also,
I mean, even in the beginning when he's like talking to Heather and she's like, "Yeah, Daredevil sort of sucks." He's like, "Really? He sucks?"
That was fun to see both the fights at the same time, right?
Where, yes,
quote unquote fights, but you know, kind of Kingpin coming clean with his lady and Daredevil with his. So I thought that was kind of a fun back and forth. Of course, Vanessa and Kingpin's relationship survives. But yeah, it was this thing that was bubbling for a while, because she would say something about vigilantes or whatever, and Daredevil would be like, okay, calm down. You know, it's not like that. And then finally, they're kind of really talking about it for the first time, and it's not going well at all.
Well, and I really like you said, Pete, the way that they twin. They've been doing this a lot this season. Wilson and Matt's like struggles, and it's just clear to me in this episode, Matt can't deal with the system. He can't deal with his relationship. He can't deal with all this stuff because he doesn't have the release he used to have that rebalanced the scales for him of Daredevil, where he could just do justice. He has this fight with this like shitty rich kid in the office. The douchey guy in front of Kirsten. And just one last thing on that. He's hit walls everywhere he goes. Fisk, on the other hand, he's just doing everything he was always going to do all the time. And he's winning nonstop here.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention just about the whole Madison thing, because I've been wondering about that all season. They keep casually dropping the name of Madison. They're like, Madison, he's one of our big clients. It felt like there was going to be this huge payoff there. And instead, he's just a regular tech douche. Maybe there's more to come in the final episode, but I was really surprised not even necessarily that he wasn't like, oh, Madison Jeffries from Alpha Flight or anything like that, but like just Madison, a guy, you know, and there wasn't much to it. I wonder if this was one of the things that was maybe a little bigger in the previous version of the show, because they mentioned it so many times it felt like there should be more of a payoff, and it really wasn't other than this one douchey scene.
Well, I think that douchey kind of thing is the one of the kind of tipping points for Matt, where he's, you know, he's trying to fight crime. He's trying to fight, do the right thing as far as justice is concerned. So it was kind of spinning him up to kind of really kind of lose his top there at the black and white, event. But I did want to talk quickly about the humor also in this episode.
Wait, last thing on Madison. I feel like in the previous iteration, maybe there was a courtroom blow up since the previous iteration of the show was maybe going to be more courtroom procedural. And that would have made a lot of sense. And they just were like, you know what? We just need to do this as we're just showing Matt being frustrated, essentially.
Yeah. And that maybe also gets to the thing we were talking about last episode, which was really on display in this episode too, is that Kirsten McDuffie has been shoved to the side. Like here again, the scene with Madison, there was a lot of stuff of like, Matt, what are you doing? Matt, come on. And I don't know, she's a good actress. She was really interesting in the first couple of episodes, and I think it's just really fizzled out in the second half, which is a bummer. I hope she gets more to do in the final episode in season two, if she survives, I guess.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, also the Poindexter, where she's like, I'm not sure I should tell you this. And we're all like, tell him.
Don't tell him. I don't know why everybody needs to be in the office. They're like, we got to tell Matt Murdock this very specific piece of information that's going to drive him onto some sort of action. Like, cut him out of the loop, man.
Well, I mean, Poindexter.
Yeah.
All he talks about is Foggy being dead. So if someone's like, I got some big news on Foggy's death. Oh, man. I guess we should tell Matt it's his whole thing. It's like, yeah, you got to tell him that. Of course. Yeah. You don't even know the half of it with him.
Yeah, yeah. But I did like the humor moments in the episode where Matt like threw his cane on the waiter's tray as he was about to go dance. Like just fun little, you know, and there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of crazy things happening. But also the light moments are nice in this show as well.
It's funny you call that moment like light and comedic. I was like, well, this guy is going over the edge right now. He is so frustrated. He's like, I don't need this cane. I don't care about my identity. I'm going to dance. Famously hard to do if you're blind, I would think. So it would seem to me that he's like going literally off the cliff in front of his greatest enemy. And then he does by taking the bullet for him.
And I think that's also well executed when he leaves the bar, Josie's bar, and they were like, he didn't even use his cane. He just like got up and walked out like a normal person, not the I'm pretending to be, you know, the blind lord. So, yeah, I thought that was also an example of what you're talking about there.
But Cherry does a great job of covering his tracks. He's like, huh, didn't notice.
Yeah, you know, just kind of staring at the camera going, ugh.
Yeah, that's again, Cherry in this show, he keeps shows up and be like, what's your deal, Matt? Come on, man. I'm sick of it. I'm like, is this community service for Cherry?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I kind of love Cherry. The actor is very fun, but I feel like Cherry has this whole other life than this, where he's like, we got to get through this Daredevil bullshit so I can get back to my regular life. I have another job. I work at an ice cream shop down at Coney Island. Very nice. Have a whole sitcom setup going on there. It's called Cherries. Check it out.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Season two. Cherry's ice cream disaster.
I want to get back to what you guys were talking about with the couples, and I'd love to dive into that a little bit more, because we have Heather and Matt really breaking apart while Vanessa and Wilson grow closer together. Let's start with the Vanessa and Wilson thing, because I think this does tie into what we're talking about towards the end of last week's episode, where there was the hit or supposed hit on Kingpin. I think, like, not to buoy up my theory, but I think what happens in this episode with Vanessa killing Adam, I do buy that's ultimately what she wants. Like, it's not her being coerced into the situation so much as she's like, yes, in order to get this life that I want with Wilson, who I love, we need to kill Adam. We need to move beyond this. We need to move beyond this conflict, this friction that we're having. And I do really buy, particularly with the revelation that she's the one behind the hit on Foggy, not Wilson, is that they are true partners now by the end of the
episode. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. This episode, I think, made that clear. It's just I'm confused in general about the way they've structured their story this season, because it felt like it was like going to be Vanessa versus Wilson. Yeah. And she was going to run the crime. She was interested in being the kingpin and queenpin of New York. And he's like, I want to be mayor. And so that's conflict. And they didn't really play that conflict, except they just did their own stuff. And then turns out they were secretly Gift of the Magi style, always working toward the same like crime mayor. I was like, you didn't talk about this once and work this out. They're both like both sides of this suddenly now. So I don't know, like I, cause about my interpretation was the opposite of this, that she was going after him, but it turns out she's just completely not, and is willing to be doing what he wants, putting him first and letting her crime side just play out on the side, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I don't know about all that, but I hear what you're saying. I do think it's interesting because he takes her to his kind of lair dungeon room, okay, and she starts to confess like, oh, sorry about that Luca thing, meaning the hit that I put out on you. And he was like, I don't care about that. Don't even worry about it. And I was just kind of like, well, it would have been nice to hear her out, or at least tell us like, hey, we were both on the same page for that fake Luca hit, because it almost seemed like she was saying like, hey, sorry, I tried to murder you. And he's like, yeah, I'm not worried about it. So last time we thought they were in on it, and I don't know if that's really the case. So then they go to the dungeon, and do you want to say something before?
No, I was just going to say that I think maybe you are right with that interpretation, but I think I take it as she's not really trying to kill him, or knows that he is going to be 2 to 40 steps ahead like he always is. And this is, like, for them, the most violent version of a lover spat possible, where they are having this friction in their marriage, and it comes out with him taking the guy she had an affair with and locking him in a dungeon for years, her kind of trying to kill him in a restaurant. But ultimately, what they want is to work together and be together because they love each other.
Well, but I think, as opposed to what's happening with Daredevil, where they're secrets or his secret is blowing up their relationship, she's like, hey, I sort of fucked up with Luca. And he's like, you think you fucked up? I got your boyfriend in the basement. And then he takes her down there, and he's like, clearly like, I'm sorry, this is the end of this. And she's like, watch this. I'm going to give you the biggest turn on of your life, Dick.
Yeah,
and shoots at him, and he's like, oh, yeah.
They fucked in that dungeon, right? They fucked in that dungeon after that. It seemed
the way
like,
he takes her hand, yeah, I'm like, okay, like, oh, cut dude, away camera unless you want to see
don't fuck in
everything.
That dungeon. There's a dead body there. All right, but hang on. I want to back up the truck. So he's like, hey, let's go into my secret dungeon. And if you noticed, when we walked by, there was these blank spots with splatter on the wall, right? Now, to me, because we saw his bloody knuckles, that's his paintings. Like, he's been painting blood on the walls, I feel like.
No. That's the, I'm forgetting the exact name, but it's the White Rabbit painting that appeared in the first couple of seasons of Daredevil. And in, I think it was the finale of season 3, with the big fight between Daredevil, Bullseye, and Kingpin, blood splattered on that painting. So that is... that is what that is. So I hear you on that theory, but it specifically is something that happened in Daredevil season 3.
Okay, cool. And then so he's like, hey, here's my secret reveal. And her look is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? And then he's kind of like creepily talking to her. And then she's kind of like, you know, doing some great acting with her kind of face work of like trying to process all this stuff. And then it's kind of like, well, fuck this. I'll just murder him, and that will be the easiest. I don't buy that they're in love. I don't think that they're
really
aligned on everything. Because she's been doing sneaky shit whenever she fucking wants. And then every once in a while, she's like, Kingpin, hey, we're cool, right? And it doesn't seem as in lockstep.
I think the opposite. I feel like this episode, she's like, I know what I need to do to erase my sin in the past, is kill Adam. Mm-hmm. And because I think in the, at think the black and white ball.
Him. I think she's playing him. She's like, you are a psychopath and you don't, no, you're really broken from reality. And I feel like I can play you.
She's always known exactly who he is from the very beginning. Like, not to go back to Daredevil season one, but there's a point where he's trying to hide everything. And it doesn't quite work for her in season three when she comes back. The whole arc there is her being like, no, I want to be included. I want to do this too. And that's where we pick up in Born Again, where she's thriving in this life and arguably done a better job of the criminal empire than Wilson ever did. So this is them. I truly believe it when they go in and talk to Heather. They're like, we're good. We don't need therapy anymore, because they don't. They have come to an understanding.
She's and just like, I'm going to live in crazy town with this guy. Because
that's where she thrives. That's where her house is. She has several houses.
She killed Foggy for him. Like, she killed. There's a lot of, like, that's their love language, is shooting dudes. So, like, yeah, therapy over. Get rid of that ex.
And for anybody listening out there, if you are doing therapy, just remember, kill a dude and you're good to go.
No, I wouldn't say that. Nope. I wouldn't say that that's not how that works.
Marvel Vision podcast approved. No. Just tell them the Marvel Vision podcast told you to do it.
Do you think now, what's Fist's hobby going to be since he can't fight Adam every morning? Like Sudoku?
Yeah, what's he going to punch? Like, how's he going to get his... Fisk out.
You know, I don't know. I mean? He could deep fry some hands. That seems to be a popular thing in New York City.
Oh, yeah. I was at the deep fried hand booth down at Coney last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do they call deep fried hand in upstate New York?
Oh, we just call that hand up there because we don't have health food, health hands, mm-hmm. health hands. It's called a bone-in, five bone-in hot dogs. Yum, yum.
Before, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about, but to talk about Heather and Matt again, it is interesting to me how icy things have gotten quickly between them, and I'm really curious to see where that relationship
it's over.
Go. Obviously nowhere, because Matt is dead, but yeah. Assuming he somehow is miraculously resurrected, like the resurrection machine.
You think he's going to be born again?
Born again. Yeah.
Maybe. No, he just gets shot all the time. He's fine.
I think he's dead. I think that's it. I thought this was the last episode.
Do you think Heather is going to become Daredevil? We speculated she might become the new Muse. Maybe she's the new Daredevil as well.
She could be both. Muse would be awesome.
I feel like whatever that's going to be, that's not going to happen. I think they are going to stay together. I think he will reveal to her that he is Daredevil in this next episode, is my prediction. And that will either split them apart fully or bring them together in the same way that Fisk and Vanessa have gotten so much back together in this episode. I thought for sure at the end of the episode, Fisk was going to be dancing with Heather, spin her, bullet. I thought for sure she was going to die.
We thought she's going to die every single episode. And to the show's credit, they are not killing her and instead letting her story progress, which I think is the more interesting choice. Let's talk about the gunshot, though, at the end. Why do you think Matt saves Wilson?
Yeah, that's what I was going to. And also, like, why do you think Bullseye just stood there and watched instead of just taking another shot? You know what I mean? Like, he could have just... Then
would you only have one tension for the episode? I think is the actual reason.
Because they had to wait for the lights to turn red.
Because he doesn't miss, so why wouldn't he just then take another shot?
He forgot a bullseye. This is why he's called Poindexter, because he misses a lot in this show.
He's a real Poindexter. Justin, why do you think Matt jumped in front of?
Well, I think from a writing perspective, they set it up really nicely in the scene between Bullseye and Daredevil, where Bullseye calls him out saying, like, I would think a guy like you would be out there defending his mortal enemy. And that's literally what he does by taking the bullet for Fisk. And I thought that was just a great way of playing them in a triangle. Like, Bullseye's like, I'm your mortal enemy. And he's like, yeah, right. It's actually Fisk. And then he does what Bullseye says he should do to Fisk, proving that to Bullseye. Maybe that's why he's taking a second after the shot. He's like, shit, I thought I was his best friend / enemy.
But what about the head bashing? That was crazy.
One more thing before we jump to that. I do think also that he's like, Fisk needs to face justice. Like, he doesn't believe he should just be shot here by Bullseye. that doesn't, that's a bad way of just of doing justice. That's like Punisher style, what he's fought off against so much. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons why. And he's a hero. He yeah. doesn't want anybody to be shot.
That's so, why I think it was just hero instinct of he heard the gun going off and he, you know, he just jumped in front of the
Do you think a hero, what if someone's just shooting a gun into a wall? Does a hero have to take that bullet?
Oh, yeah. You don't want those bricks to die. Think about the bricks babies.
Oh, those poor brick babies.
Oh, those baby bricks.
Yeah, it was crazy because he clearly hates Kingpin, so the fact that he saved him was such a head-scratcher a little bit, you know?
No, I feel like Justin nailed it, and in particular, if you look back, we're getting back to the whole Foggy plotline, he went too far with Bullseye. He knocked him off, he threw him off of a roof, ostensibly to kill him, and Bullseye survived, obviously, but he's not letting that happen again. He has fully become a hero. He's like, no, I don't kill people, I don't let people die. I save them even if they are the Kingpin, my mortal enemy. And I agree with you, too, that it is probably about strategically making him face justice. Also, maybe there's a little bit of he's just accused Vanessa of killing Foggy. So if Wilson dies, that puts Vanessa in a position where she is, you know, vulnerable with the press. So, it's strategic and there's a lot of reasons there.
Do you think he was trying to hit the bullet at Vanessa so she got shot?
Because he's got those whack. Steel hands.
He hit it really hard. Maybe it would just get that curve, for Foggy.
He wanted to curve the bullet like it watched
it. Oh, sick. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Gunslinging.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Do you think Wilson Fisk is going to hang up that blood spider? Because it's very similar to his painting. You know, in his dungeon, you know, that suit after it's got that perfect blood.
I think he's going to hang up Matt. We're going to cut in on him in Adam's cage, and he's going to have that Tom Hanks castaway beard just like Adam. What year is it?
Well, maybe put, you know, Wilson in there. Give him a little volleyball he can talk to. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, Wilson
can be the volleyball.
Yeah.
Wilson is. He's got the blood stain right on his suit.
He's turned into the volleyball.
Do you think next episode they're going to reveal he was the volleyball the whole time?
The whole time.
Crazy.
Wow.
I want to jump back to the moment that Pete mentioned, just which kind of bothered me and is the opposite of exactly what we're talking about in terms of him being a hero, which is Matt hitting Bullseye's head against the table to break off his tooth so he later could use it as a weapon to escape, which leads to multiple deaths in the prison, which are directly attributable to Matt Murdock.
Are you saying he did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Matt broke his tooth on purpose, you think?
Matt broke his tooth on purpose so he could break out.
No. Matt broke his tooth out of anger, and the reason Bullseye thanks him is because he knows he has a weapon now. So, like, I think that was Matt. I think the lesson there, the takeaway for me from that was Matt's anger is out of control, that there's actual damage to it because he can't manage his life. And those lives that were lost were on him from just his rage. I don't think he was purposefully trying to get Bullseye.
But I think it's the opposite. I mean, maybe he wasn't thinking about the repercussions, but Bullseye is specifically like, if you leave me here, I am going to die. Yeah. So in order to save Bullseye, he slams his head, breaks his tooth, so he has a possibility of getting out there. But then the repercussions of it are all these guards die, all these doctors die, everybody dies as Bullseye breaks out of the prison. And I do think that's Matt's fault.
How can you think he's a hero if he did that?
I don't know.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
I definitely think it was just he was so angry he just slammed his head against the table a bunch.
Yeah, and he's like, you're going to die here. That's what's happening.
Yeah, when he leaned in, he was like, ooh, you're such a baby. I was like, Jesus, this guy's in prison. Like, don't give him that voice. Holy shit, man.
You're calling – Alex, that's the Punisher move. And that for you to be like Daredevil is Punisher, that's crazy.
Well, when are we going to get the Punisher? I mean, Jesus,
he's cut.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's gone.
All we had. We had one little scene with him, and that's it?
No. You think he's going to pop up in the last episode and be like, pretty crazy, the gun stuff. Here's my gun.
I hope he shows up. It'd be nice to see him.
Yeah.
See how he's doing? You know?
A bunch of other things going on in the episode we should talk about.
The BB report. That was fun.
The BB report and everything going on with her. I thought this was great. The whole...
Yes.
Particularly the way the actress played it. Her talking to Daniel and kind of being like, ha-ha, I'm a fun party girl. We're good friends. And immediately turning on a dime when she's talking to... I'm forgetting the name.
Commissioner.
The commissioner. Yeah,
commissioner. But talking to the commissioner and explaining that she knows... that Wilson killed her uncle, but can't prove it yet. She doesn't always write things under her own name, and then immediately turning back to Party Girl when she goes back to Daniel. That, like, flipped every scene that we've seen her in so far, and I loved it.
The line that she goes, I gotta go back to work, and then turns around and puts on, like, a fake smile. Oh, my God. So great. That was awesome. It was nice to see, for sure.
I love that. I'm curious... It's really cool to me that that's probably what's going to take Fisk down is BB, because Matt just isn't doing it. And he has other stuff to fight next episode. I think the actual justice will come from the BB report. So that's really cool. And then Blake, like, hearing him be such a sycophant is like, ugh, blah. That makes me he's a great unlikable sucker in this show.
Mm-hmm. You talking about the mini kingpin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I the way that he's being played by BB that's the more like justice is happening version of the show, with part of the show with Matt being so just angry all the time. When he's in with Bullseye and he's like, fuck you, I was like, dude, you sound like a kid getting into a fight with somebody. It's wild.
One other aspect of the episode that I was pretty surprised about, particularly based on we were talking about this, I don't remember if it was last episode or two episodes back, is the whole Kingpin versus One Percenters thing is resolved very quickly in this episode.
Yeah.
He shuts down Artemis. We get Jack Duquesne. The swordsman is coming back.
Yeah, and
he
totally the swordsman.
Owns him as well in their one scene or two scenes together. I thought this was going to play out more. I love this in the comics, just having like the Kingpin of crime totally out of his depth. And instead, they turn it around. So he once again is completely in charge of everything.
Well, and it's cool. Like, I don't mind. Like, if we spend a lot of time having this sort of not courtroom drama, but I always forget the word for this. It's like court intrigue, palace intrigue with these rich people dealing with all this stuff. I was like, I don't know if we need that. This episode didn't have a ton of like, you know, action anyway. Wouldn't need another 10 minutes of screwing around with that. So I don't mind it. It just seems strange to me that, like, I love Tony Dalton and the woman that plays Dana on The Pit, my favorite show going right now.
Yeah.
And they're
Catherine Lanasa.
Yeah. Catherine Lanasa. And they're in there and they just don't do much. Like, the swordsman's like, okay, bye. Like, you've bribed me successfully, and hopefully he will come back and do something. But they're both just so cowed that it is sort of strange that they hire these great actors to do almost nothing.
Yeah, I wonder, like you're saying, if it's just a real estate thing, because there's so much happening in this episode between Bullseye and Matt, between the relationship stuff, between the BB stuff. We haven't even touched on Powell. I mean, we joked about it, but Powell deep frying the guy's head and cowing the commissioner and being like, we can do literally whatever we want.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that's going down here setting up the finale. So it might have been just that something needs to fall by the wayside and that's it. But I agree with you. I wish we were getting a little more out of them.
I also got to say that cop, the most crooked cop on the task force, they're doing a great job of making him hateable. Like, I'm ready for him to get his ass kicked. This episode, he's being such a dick, so cruel to that reporter. It was strange that reporter comes in with his volume turned all the way up and makes a flash photo of Phil Wilson. I was like, bro, be a little better about that. You don't need your flash on. But, like, that scene was – I can't wait for the inevitable ass kicking next episode.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope so.
Anything else in the episode? Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I want to shout out a couple just production things. I love the way we get the aspect ratios changing, and the when Daredevil's like sort of using his powers right before Bullseye starts shooting people. That's we've seen that in the first episode, and now here, very cool. I guess it's just when Bullseye shows up, everything changes. Also, just the music. I love the organ music that's happening when Matt gets to the the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so, like, unsettling.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, the music that's being performed in the room degrades as Matt is watching Fisk just, like, live out his glory dance. Fist is blowing out finger guns in slow-mo. I was like, man, they are letting these guys do wheelies here. So that's – I loved all that stuff.
I want to give a shout out to, there was a really nice payoff to when he says, it's Fiorello, LaGuardia's desk to, yeah. It was to Sheila, right?
Yeah, Sheila. Where,
that was just a nice payoff to several episodes back when he's like, do you think this is LaGuardia's desk? And just throw it, looping back to that as just like a very subtle, oh, I know everything now. I have gone from being way out of my depth to I am in control of the situation. Really, well, nicely,
but it was. They did that. They showed that in the previous season. I was like, what would that have to do with anything in this episode? And then they just directly pay off that line. And so I was like, oh, okay. Really using your real estate. Another line I liked, Matt, we're not serving justice. We're babysitting chaos. He says to in the office when he's dealing with that Madison dude. That was cool. And one other thing, like the fact that when Matt and Heather are fighting in the beginning of the episode and Buck shows up, I'd forgotten that his name is Buck Cashman.
Yeah.
I was like, what the? What? This is a serious? Like, you're serious about this?
He should, I think we could all agree, he should be wearing a buddy suit, right?
Yeah, like the question mark suit guy should be all
exactly.
Just
all cash. Just all cash. All money suit. It's me, Buck Cashman.
I mean, it was also like a little weird when Daredevil was complaining about how unfair life is to Kristen. I mean, that part was a little like, all right, bro, like, you know, Jesus. But yeah.
And one little, I don't even know if this is an Easter egg so much as a reference, Dex spitting out the tooth at the guard. I believe that was from a Garth Ennis Punisher comic. I could be wrong about that. Huh. I don't know. I should have looked that up, but like, I remember seeing that specific panel of Bullseye being like grinning with the tooth between his teeth. It's
yeah,
pretty
I felt
gross.
Like a comic strip.
But great.
That was great. I like the way they covered that scene too, where we see him get the tooth and spit out. It's like, uh-oh, right in the cop's eye. And then we don't see the aftermath. We just see him pick up two, like, syringes or something sharp and wing
scissors.
Them at the dude.
Yeah,
scissors. So he breaks them in half.
Yeah.
And, like, we just see him doing it. We don't see the repercussions until later. I thought, just well done.
Yeah.
Well directed.
Good
also,
show.
It was cool how he was, like, taking his time. He wasn't panicking. It was just, like, very smooth.
Just happy.
Yeah. It's great. He's great, and I hope we see him get more to do. They definitely have him in a place that's, like, traumatized, and that's pretty much all he's giving at the moment. But the actor's really good, and I don't know. I'd like to see him as more part of the mix, but I guess we'll see what happens. Also, a real Bullseye costume at some point.
Ooh, that said,
why don't we transition to our vision board and say what we would like to see in the season finale of Daredevil Born Again. Pete, what is on your vision board?
Too many funeral sad stuff. I can't deal with Murdoch like being dead for half the episode or whatever. I need him to be alive right away.
No.
And we got to take care of business because there's too much shit and I don't want to be sad. So I'm hoping it gets right to action and like he's alive, he's okay, and he has a plan and he teams up with Punisher and they start fucking shit up.
And candy and Santa Claus is there, and I want to go stay up as late as I want, says Pete. Pete's vision board. I want to see all that task force get absolutely wrecked.
Yeah,
I want to see Wilson, or I expect to see Wilson.
By the swordsman.
And nope. I want to see Daredevil fight that cop. The swordsman. It's weird if he doesn't show up, but I'm also like, how is he going to show up?
Yeah,
I want him to fuck up the cops, man, with his sword.
Yeah, that's what he does. It's right in his name. But I don't know. I guess we probably will see him, I would think. I think Daredevil, I would hope to see a little moment with them back in the diner. And that's when I want maybe Fisk beats Daredevil. They're back at the diner, and that's when the BB report drops and Fisk goes down. That's what I want to see, all of that happen in the next episode.
Yeah, I'm really curious what's going to happen just in terms of like, we know there's the second season. We know they're continuing the stuff. Are they continuing the plot line? Are they going to wrap it up? At one point, I think there were 18 episodes. So it'll be curious to see if this is like two halves of a season or legitimately a season finale. I think so far they've been doing it like
nine and nine.
Well, yeah, I just mean it could be like this is 18 episodes and we're just kind of stopping in the middle. But I expect they've actually been doing a really good job with the TV format that we are going to see some sort of closure for the first episode. This is a very minor thing, but I'd love to know what's going on with Heather. You know, I think it would be interesting to see what happens to her next and what level she goes to. Does she become that female muse like we've speculated? Does she find out that Matt is Daredevil? What is going to happen to that with the relationship? It's maybe not my number one thing, but it's definitely something that I'm very curious about because it's a character that they very purposefully clearly kept in the mix all this time rather than killing her off like we've constantly speculated. So how is that going to play into things? How is that going to change into things now that she's around? I guess we will find out. And if you like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We'd love to chat with you about Daredevil, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Pete, do you think you relive Foggy's death as much as Daredevil?
Because probably not, because I relive it every day. But I'm just wondering if he comes out of the coma, if he's going to be like super religious, you know, like born again, you know, and he's going to be really annoying and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Wow. Hard stance there,
strong
right?
Take down it.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.